Welcome to the Amberly Lago Show, stories of true grit and grace.
Hey there, thank you for tuning in to the Amberly Lago Show. I'm so excited to have you with us today. You are in for a real treat because I have my friend Mitch Matthews with us. He is also my mentor. He is a coach to coaches, and he really is the epitome of dreaming big, thinking better, and doing what you are have been created on earth to do. And so he's got a podcast, actually two podcasts. He's got one that's a top 0.5% podcast, a new podcast called Encouraging the Encourager, and he speaks all over the world. He runs his own events, and I couldn't be happier to have you with us. So thank you for joining us, Mitch.
This is great to get to be here with you. I love it.
Oh my gosh. I have been waiting for this day and to get to see you in person because we usually see each other on Zoom.
Right, exactly. To be in the same space is so awesome.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm glad we've got 4 hours to talk. Right?
I know. Yeah, we got to get right to the good stuff. Now, Mitch is a returning guest.
Yes.
So if you want to know a little bit more about his backstory, tune in to his previous episode on the True Grit and Grace podcast.
Right.
And I want to get right into it because I have a lot of listeners that they are entrepreneurs.
Yep.
But I think a lot of people need to be encouraged right now.
Yeah.
And there are some people that are stuck in an unfulfilling job.
Yep.
They want to do something different. And I actually have a lot of people that say they want to be a coach or that they are a coach.
Yeah.
But it's more like a hobby because they're not making any money at
it. Right.
So years ago we met and I was on your podcast and then we became friends. And then every time I would talk to you, I'm like, oh, come on, coach me. And you've been my coach. I needed to help with just some systems in place to level up my business. And so you've really helped me. And I would love to have you not only encourage the listeners, but also give us some tips on what we can do to move the needle on our business.
Absolutely. So I love this conversation because that's definitely where I was. I'd had success in the pharmaceutical world. You know, I joke now, but our son, his kindergarten teacher called us and said, hey, you need to talk to your son about how he talks about what you do.
Oh.
And I said, why is that? And she said, well, when we asked what mom and dad did for a living, today Ben told the class you sell drugs out of the trunk of your car.
Oh.
Which is hilarious. But yeah, I had a lot of success in the pharmaceutical world. But like probably many of your listeners can understand, the longer I was in the industry, when I started, it was a great fit. But the longer I went and the higher that I went, it became a bad fit. And my last position, I often say I got promoted into a bad fit job. And I can tell you that it woke me up because every day I drove to that job, a little part of me felt like it was dying.
Oh,
I just
wow.
knew that's not where I'm supposed to be anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt risky to think about something different because I'd had a lot of success in that industry.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of where my network was, all of those things. But I continued to lean into, okay, what do I want to do in this next season? What do I feel called to do in this next season? What do I love to do? And I looked back through my time in the pharma world and realized that when I was at my best, I was coaching others. I was encouraging others. I was helping people with their performance, all of those things. So I realized like maybe that's what I could do. And I went and got some coach training, which was great. But I realized very quickly the coach training was helpful in helping me be more confident as a coach, but abysmal when it came to the business of coaching. And so I had to really learn, how do you turn this into a business? And I did that on the side for a while and floundered and made every mistake. But in a very short period of time, I was able to figure out what we now call the six-figure sequence, which is basically a checklist of things that as you do those things, it increases your chances of actually making an impact, but also making money, being profitable, it increases those chances dramatically. And so I started to do that. And I thought it might take me 5 years to be able to replace my income in pharmaceuticals, but we were able to do that in about 5 months.
Wow.
And been coaching ever since 2002. And we've been helping coaches around the world to be able to do that and helped thousands of coaches now, which is amazing. So it is a true honor because I love seeing people be more of what they're put on the planet to do. And that's mm-hmm. what we tend to do is help people who are natural encouragers actually turn that into a business.
Well, would you suggest someone because I have a client right now.
Yeah.
She's like, well, I'm coaching, but I'm not making that much money at it. And this, my job that I have is what pays the bills.
Absolutely.
Would you, and when I transitioned from one job to another job, it was when I completely said, okay, I'm done with being a professional dancer. I'm getting into the fitness industry and coaching clients. It put a little pain because I was like, I got to get out there and get some clients and make this work because there's no other income.
Yeah.
Would you suggest that someone just burns the bridges and goes, or should they do both and have the coaching on the side?
I love this question because it's such a good question because it's going to be different for everybody. But one of the things, we were in a similar boat when I was in the pharmaceutical world. My wife stayed home with our boys for a few years. So we were in what I jokingly say is a sitcom situation. We were single income, two children, oppressive mortgage. And so I couldn't just quit because it was one of those things where I could really tell that this is what I was meant to do, to coach and to speak.
But yeah, you are a natural coach.
Oh,
like,
well,
you just can't even help yourself. Like,
when
we get on, and I love it, we get on a call, and even, you know, in the dressing room, I'm like, what do you think, coach? Should I do this?
Exactly. Yeah. So I love doing it, but I wasn't making any money. And one of the things that I realized early on was we needed something we now call the LEAP number. And what the LEAP number is it's an equation that we will often give coaches in our program to be able to say, hey, this will help you make that decision on when you should go full time. Because the LEAP number helps people to make the decision. And really the LEAP number equation is something we landed on that helped us make that decision. And basically what that is to decide what percentage of income do you want to replace and for how many months in order to give you an indicator that you're on the right track. Because one of the things that I realized was watching other people, whether it was building a coaching business or just starting a business, what a lot of people would do is if they set the goal of saying, hey, I want to have 12 months of income in the bank before I start my business. What a lot of people will do is they work real hard to do that. But then, you know, they quit, they've hit their goal. But then that first month, they're like, you know what, I'm going to take a vacation. Because I'm tired. I've worked real hard to get a year's worth of income saved up. So I'm tired. I'm going to take a month's vacation. They come back from that vacation and say, okay, now I'm going to start my business. But then a relative gets sick. It's like, you know what? I've got some free time. I'm going to go help with that. So they go do that. And all of a sudden, in a
That's
very short-
gone.
Exactly right. So what I always say is savings is a good thing, but systems is better when you're wanting to build and launch a business. Because what I said to myself was, I knew that I wasn't going to be able to 100% replace my income in the pharma world by working on the side. But I thought if I could do something consistently for a number of months, then I would know that I had the systems in place to be able to say, okay, now if I devote all of my time to this, I really have a good chance of achieving this. So what we did was we decided we were going to go 3 months at 35% of my income. If I could do 3 months in a row at 35% of my income, then that probably meant that I had the systems in place to be able to go, okay, when I devote 100% of my time, I'll probably be able to meet and replace my income in a short period of time. And what was beautiful about something like that was that gave us a deadline and kind of a target for us to look at. My wife, you know, we are both prayer people, and she's like, okay, now I've got a prayer target. I'm going to pray that when we're ready, that this is going to happen. And what's funny about it and very true is the first month I blew it out of the water. I think we hit 50% of my income and I was like, oh, this is it. I'm going to be able to do this in no time. Then the next month, goose eggs, because I stopped doing some of those systems that I had done, right? So I was like, that was a great wake-up call to go, wait, no. Okay, now lean back into the systems. So what was beautiful was is that then I started to do what we now call the six-figure sequence again, and I was able to do that. And sure enough, in 3 months, we were able to have that back-to-back reoccurring income so that at the end of the 5 months, I was able to say, okay, I'm done. I'm ready to do this full time. And we've been able to do it ever since.
Well, I love that. I want to talk about that six-figure sequence.
Yes.
What can you, I know that you have a whole assessment that I want to talk about and foundations I want to talk about.
Yeah.
Can you share a little bit about what that six-figure sequence
is?
So
absolutely.
Anybody who's listening can be like, well, I want to start making
two
money.
Scoops of that, right?
Yeah.
Exactly right. Well, what's interesting is that oftentimes when I work with a coach, you know, if they come to me and we start to interact, they'll often say, like, I want to be a coach. I'm a natural encourager, but I'm not making any money.
Okay. Well, I want to know what makes a good coach before we get into that. What makes a good coach? What makes a bad coach? Because it seems like, especially on social media, everybody wants to be a coach. I'm a life coach and there are no certification, nothing, but everybody's saying they're a coach or they're an expert.
Right.
What makes a good coach?
I love that. I love that you even bring up the certification because we actually have a certification. I believe in getting good training. But I also believe that if you're going to use that as your kind of cornerstone for having credibility as a coach, it's not going to work. I've been coaching for over 20 years and I've never had a potential client ask me if I'm certified or who I'm certified through. They don't
care. Same for me.
Right? They want to know,
they never
ask. Are you confident?
Yeah.
Right? They want to know, can you help me? Do you know my situation? Can you help me? So I love certifications. I love getting training. Definitely want people to be confident and competent. But don't use that as your marketing, right? Because they don't care. People don't care. They want to know, can you help me? So I think one of the big things, and we can actually talk about the assessment, because that is something that we've learned, is that there are a lot of people who want to be coaches and they shouldn't be. They should go probably do other things. But to say, okay, do you have some of these core attributes that we see time and time again? If you have these things, you greatly increase your chance of being successful, both from an impact perspective, but also from an income perspective, because it needs to be both and. It really does. Because you want, like, I know for you, you know, you deserve to be paid well, but you would do this for free if you could, because you just love seeing the transformation in people's lives. That's why you're doing shows like this, right? Like you love to help people, but also you need to have a business that's very profitable. So you can be a blessing to your family. So you can be a blessing to your community. So you can do more things like this and have more impact. So being willing to also get paid is actually an interesting but vital part. And people say,
because there are a lot of times people are like, well, I've been doing it for free.
Right.
You know, I've just been doing it for free. And it's like, I had to switch my mindset around that. I thought the more money that I make, the more people I can help.
Yeah.
The more I can pay the people that are on my team.
Right.
It just, the bigger impact I can make. So that's how I had to kind of switch my mindset around. No, I need to be paid for this. And knowing your worth. I'm even wearing a little necklace that says worthy.
I saw that. I love it. That stood out to me, which is so true. And I think that that's a big thing, because I think a lot of people were like me. In some ways, when I went and did the coach training and then started to try to build a business, there was a part of me that's saying, am I just selling what I have been giving away for free my whole life? You know, and I think there is an element to that. I was an encourager in high school. I was an encourager in college. Mm-hmm. I was named the pastor in our dorm in college, not because of my faith background at the time. It was more that everybody just came to me and told me their stuff, right? Like, go talk to the pastor, you know? And it was one of those things. You're either a pastor or a bartender, because everybody just, why am I telling you this? But they just tell you things, right? So that those are things that natural encouragers, natural coaches probably do, again, naturally, right? But what I wrestled with, and maybe your listeners will identify with this, that when I started to sell coaching, there was an element of what coaching was that I had never charged for. So I was like, wait, how can I charge for something I've given away all of my life? But then I started to realize part of that is true. You probably have always been an encourager. People probably always come to you for advice and wisdom and encouragement. So part of that's true. But when you coach, it really is a very different thing. So I always say, like, there's Coach Mitch And that's very different than friend Mitch. Like friend Mitch can go and have a coffee with someone and I will do things to encourage people. I will do things to listen. I will do things to, you know, maybe help to draw out new solutions. And I can do that over coffee.
Yeah.
But that's not Coach Mitch. Mm-hmm. Coach Mitch uses some of those tools, but Coach Mitch also is spending at least 10 weeks with someone, right? Working with them to vision, to put a plan together, to take action. That's very different than what you do over a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Right? And then you start to think about, okay, and that speaks to selling in packages, being able to say, I'm not going to have a one-off conversation with someone.
Because one-time coaching is not going to work. It's not going to work. You need time.
Yep.
It's like hiring a personal trainer and say, well, I'm going to go one workout and I'm going to be so lean, ripped.
Right, exactly. Change my life.
Yeah.
Which you can have a great conversation, a great interaction, and it can be life-changing. But what you can do with packages, both from a business perspective, but even more importantly, from an impact perspective, makes all the difference. And so that is one of the things that we train our coaches on
is to do the packages.
How do you do packages? How do you design packages so that people see themselves in your packages?
Well, how do you?
Right. Well, and that's one of the other aspects of that we'll get into specifics, but one of the other aspects of this too, is that I always say, you know, what's interesting about paying for coaching is that for you as a coach, part of the payment is for you, right? You deserve to be paid. You deserve to be compensated for
but
the work that you're doing.
But other people need to have some skin in the game.
That's exactly right. So I always say the payment is as much for my client, we call them allies, as much for our allies as it is for me, the coach. Because when somebody invests in themselves, they are all in. And so I tell people all the time, I was like, you know, I mean, some of my coaching packages are as valuable as a car. You know, people will often say, like, the last time I made this kind of payment was for buying a brand new car. It's like, yep. I said, but here's the thing. When you make this payment, I want you to have the biggest smile on your face. And they'll be like, are you a masochist? What are you talking about? It's like, no, when you make this payment,
it's saying you deserve it.
You deserve it. It is go time. You have been thinking about the things we've talked about. You've been thinking about these things sometimes for months, oftentimes for years. When you make this investment in yourself, you know it's go time. This is it. This is when you're going to make it happen. And people will tell me all the time, they're like, I've never made a payment that big, but also I had the biggest, goofiest grin on. My spouse was asking me, what are you doing? You know, like I had the biggest, goofiest grin on because I knew this is it. I am all in.
Thank you for saying that because I learned the hard way, like with my mastermind. I let people in as a scholarship.
Yep.
But they didn't have to work to get that scholarship. I was like, oh yeah, here. Yep. Because like, you're right. I love encouraging people. Yeah. I love helping people. They did not take action.
Not in the same way.
Like the other people in the mastermind. So I stopped doing that.
Yep.
And I actually had one lady in the mastermind that I had to have a tough conversation with her. I had let her in the mastermind and she wasn't doing the work. She hadn't invested.
Yep.
And I had to have a tough conversation and say, I'm sorry, this is you're just not ready for this.
Yep. Because,
and when you're ready to invest in yourself, then it's go time, like you said.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We've got somebody in our program.
Way.
Yeah, we've got somebody in our program right now that teaches people the foundations of building a coaching practice. And we were interacting and said, well, I'm going to do some practice coaching. I reached out to somebody in my church. I'm going to coach them for free. And I said, well, that's generous. That's amazing. That probably will give you some great experience. I said, but I want to caution you that I know sometimes when we offer free coaching, it will actually do the opposite of what we were hoping because sometimes it may, in fact, convince you you're not a good coach.
Or you're not a good coach or you're not worth paying.
Right,
or
exactly.
All the things.
All of that can be habit forming, right? Mm-hmm. So to be able to say, if they really can't pay and you really still want to help them, work out a pay it forward program. Tell them, hey, I would normally charge $5,000 for this coaching. I'm not going to charge you $5,000 for this coaching, but I'm going to ask you to sign a document that says at some point in the future, I'm going to give something of similar value to somebody else.
That's a really good way of doing it.
Right. And not everybody's going to take you up on it, but a lot of people will. And you can feel the difference in those kinds of commitments to be able to
say.
Do you
have like a contract that they sign? 100%.
I have a contract that
Why am I not surprised? you have the best paperwork, like the best. Yeah. Systems, like
that's what it's about. Like, I don't know about you, but I have a short attention span. I don't have a lot of discipline, so I've got to rely on systems. And so, yes, I've got to pay a forward contract. And I don't do a lot of those anymore. I did when I was getting started. And that's something we recommend for our folks that really just want to practice.
Yeah.
It's like, well, at least have a pay it forward. Because what that does is that gets them to commit, but it also gets you to the point where you're verbalizing, hey, I'm going to charge $5,000 for my coaching. Because a lot of people, I know for me, when I first started, I thought, oh my gosh, this is back in 2002, but I thought, oh my gosh, if someday I could charge $2,000 for my coaching. And I remember the first time I said it, I think my voice cracked like a 13-year-old boy, like I'm going to charge $2,000, you know? But it's one of those, you have to get used to saying that. You have to get used to being able to speak to your value and understand where that value is coming from, right? And so the pay it forward contract allows you to still help if you want to, if you need to, but it also allows you to work on some of those other habits that are very necessary to get you paid.
And that goes for whether you're coaching or you're speaking.
Yeah.
Because I just told somebody the other day, I said, I was supposed to go to Florida. I said, but they were only going to pay me a fraction of my speaker's fee. And when I first started speaking, I would have been like, oh my gosh, they're paying me this much money. But I'm like, I traveled more last year than I've ever traveled in my life for speaking. And I was like, I'm not going to travel unless they pay my speaker's fee. And this friend goes, oh yeah, I mean, they should at least be paying you like $5,000 to go speak. And I'm like, no, I get a little more than that.
I get a little more than that.
More than that. But I've paid my dues. But I think what helped me in my coaching and speaking is the more I did it, I got those reps in, the more my schedule, my calendar was more packed with event after. And it made it easier for me to say, no, I just got back in town. Yep. I'm not going to travel again unless you're paying me my full fee.
Right.
Because you're away from your family, or it's the energy that it takes.
It's expensive for you to be out of your office.
Oh, right? That's what it was. So, I was like, I'm going to put all this work that I did, my mastermind on hold, my new book on hold, my everything on hold to go do it. Yeah, exactly.
That's it. And it's one of those things where what's interesting too is on the coaching and on the speaking side, when you charge what you're worth, and it is, it's a matter of working through that to have those fees go
up
and up, but it's when you charge what you're worth, you are often treated better as well.
Yeah, you are.
I had a speaking event just 2 weeks ago, and it was interesting. The committee, one of the committee members was the CFO for the organization, and I could tell he was a little resistant. Like, he was open to me being the speaker, but when he heard my fee, he was a little resistant because it was basically a car, right? And it's so funny because at the event, after I had performed, I got down off the stage, had a great reception, all of those things. The audience loved it. He came up to me and he said, do you remember what you said in our second call? And I said, I talk a lot. I don't remember. And he said, you said you're expensive, but trust me, it'll be worth it. And I said, I do remember that. And he said, I get it now.
Wow.
And I said,
I just got goosebumps.
Right. And I said, I didn't say that to be braggadocious. I said, I'm focused on your audience. I worked hard to figure out what your audience wanted and needed, right? And they responded. And I said, that's what I charge, what I do. And he said, yep, I get it now.
Yeah.
And so that's one of those things. But you can also devote more time and more energy to those things when you're getting paid well to do it. But there's systems to it.
I think also what a lot of people don't understand is like the whether it's for coaching, all the work and thought and everything that you put in before and after the coaching session, the systems and the stuff that you send your clients. And then the speaking, the lifetime of experience that you have learned and the reps that you've done and the preparation. For me, it's not about the hour keynote that I'm giving. It's all the preparation and the anxiousness and the,
and the time and all of that. But it's also when you think about whether it's a coaching client or a speaking audience, it's not just about the time you spend with them. It's the ripple effect of what those conversations or that you could spark one idea. You speak to an organization, you spark one idea. That one idea might cause or that might generate hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars of revenue, or it might spark more engagement, which could, you know, increase retention and help creativity and engagement, all those things, right? Or with coaching, it's like you might have one coaching session. I'll never forget, I was coaching an attorney and we were two sessions into a 10 session package. And we hop on the call and he's like, well, you've paid for yourself already.
Wow.
And I said, how so? And he said, just one thing we talked about last week. He said, it finally was the catalyst on something that I had been meaning to do for years. I just did it. And I guarantee you, I will make probably seven times more this year because I finally did the thing that I knew that I should have been doing. He said, but you're the catalyst for that. He's like, I've been talking to myself about doing it.
Wow.
But that one thing, he's like, I just got off the call. I took action. And I said, well, I'm going to charge you more now.
Yeah,
he laughed. He goes, no, we're already done. But I said that. But that's the picture of, you know, when you're working with someone, it's obviously it's the time you spend with them. But it's also, again, the ripple effect in their life, in their career. The things that you work on will change their life and really be something they can look back on and rely on the rest of their days. So you shouldn't just be exchanging time for money. It's one of those things of its impact, its ripple effect, its life
and career.
It is.
I mean, this event that I just got back from, I had several people come up to me and say, I heard you 2 years in tears.
I bet.
I heard you 2 years ago and it changed my life. I've done so much work on myself and healing and it's taken me some nerve to come up and talk to you. And then somebody goes, come up and talk to her. I'm like, come here and give me a hug,
exactly.
You know, but yeah, it's when you can do that, it's amazing.
Yep.
And I know we could just like talk.
Right.
You and I get to talk and,
I know.
And we just,
That's why I want to have 4 hours.
Yeah, 4 hours. But I want to go back to that six-figure sequence. Like, give us a little more about it.
Well, and this is something I really want to encourage people on, too, is that we help people who are natural encouragers to build successful and profitable coaching businesses and oftentimes speaking businesses, too. But I'll say that one of my big encouragements is you shouldn't naturally know this stuff. There's a lot of people who kind of beat themselves up to say, well, I'm a natural encourager. Maybe they got some coach training and they're like, I should just know how to build a business. But that's not how it works. Like I always say that, you know, you might have someone, if you ever have to have surgery, hopefully you would never, but like if you ever had to have surgery, and I know you've had more than your fair share of surgeries, right? Like if you ever
had a few, a couple weeks ago.
But if you have surgery, as you well know, you would hope your doctor, that surgeon, was really, really good at science in high school. Maybe they had a natural proclivity to be able to remember where bones and muscles go. Like, I don't know about you, I could not remember any of that stuff in high school, right? But if they're a surgeon, you would hope they were naturally gifted at that.
Mm-hmm.
But you would also hope that they went on to get some specialized training to help them know how to be a surgeon.
Yeah.
It's the same thing where if you have a basis of being a natural encourager, that's a great place to start as a coach. But there's nothing in you that should absolutely know the systems that it takes to actually build an impactful and profitable coaching business. That's where additional training comes in. And that's, I always want to encourage people because I think there's a lot of people who are natural encouragers, who've tried to build coaching businesses and it didn't go well. And they beat themselves up because they felt, I should have just known. It's like, well, should a surgeon just know how to do it? No, they had to go get specialized training. So I just want to encourage people, like if they've tried it and it didn't work or they've thought about it and they're not sure how to make it work, that's not a flaw. That's not a weakness. That's actually discernment for them to realize, maybe I should go get some more training.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, like you said before, like I got a certification when I was a personal trainer, I got the certification that was the hardest one to get. Like they used to
Because that's what you do, right?
Well, I was like, I wanted to, cause I did it for my confidence.
Yeah.
You know, I really did it for not one person ever asked me for that
Isn't
certification.
That crazy? Yeah.
When I became a life coach is what it was called back then. I got the certification. Never has anyone asked me. When I started my mastermind, I got certified with the Mastermind Association. No one has ever asked me for my certification.
Wait,
for,
I'd like to see your documentation on that certification.
Let me see, yeah. Exactly. I mean, I've framed those and everything. But it is important to learn systems just and to know what is moving the needle and what is not working.
Right. And well, yes. And it's what's interesting is that almost about 80-85% of coaching programs that are out there are great at teaching coaching. But again, 80-85% of them do not touch the business side of it, because oftentimes they're run by people who weren't really successful at running a coaching business. They were good at teaching coaching, and that's great, right? It's needed, but they weren't successful at coaching. And so they started to do training. So we always say, like, learn, you got to get the systems in place to be able to do that. And once you can do that, it makes all the difference.
Well, you have an assessment that I love, that I think is a great idea. It's a good starting point for anyone who's thinking about, like, kicking their old job to the curb and getting diving more into the coaching. Can you tell us more about that assessment?
Yeah, absolutely. So we've been helping other coaches in small ways since 2008, but then we launched an online training program in 2011 that's allowed us to help coaches from around the world, thousands of coaches from around the world. So we've also learned some things about, you know what, there's some predictability elements to this, to say, are you naturally good at this? Do you have a passion for that? Are you open to these kinds of things? We just figured out that there are certain things that predict whether somebody is going to be successful or not. So we
no narcissist should be a coach.
It's exactly right. That's exactly right. So we put together, it's called the CPSA, the Coaching Predictability of Success Assessment, which is a mouthful.
It
but
is.
Basically, it's that whole thing of somebody can go through and actually get a score that will tell them the predictability of their success.
Is this free?
It's absolutely free. And we'll make it super easy. So we'll put it at MitchMatthews.com/Amberly. So your people will know how to get it.
And we'll make sure that's in the show notes. Absolutely. Y'all, it's in the show notes. But so if you're out for a run, just know it's going to be in the show
there
notes.
There it is. Exactly. But it's one of those things people have said you're nuts, because it really seems like you're trying to convince some people to not be coaches. You know, and for an organization that sells coach training, people think we're a little crazy to try to talk people out of being coaches. But not everybody should. Not everybody should be coaches. At the same time, though, there is such a need for coaching right now.
Yeah.
I have been coaching since 2002. I have not seen the need for one-on-one
good coaching
like I'm seeing right now. We have a waiting list, for crying out loud. So it's that whole thing of being able to say it is such a need, but at the same time, we only want to see people really have the higher chance of predictability of success to be able to get into it. And so that's why we put the assessment together, to help people to make that decision so that they can move forward with confidence.
Okay. When they take that, does it give them any kind of input on things that they should do?
Yeah. So it gives them a score, which I don't know about you, but I'm like, give me the score. I want to improve the score. It also gives you a baseline, because it's one of those things that you can work on certain elements to increase your score if you want to. But I know for some people it's convinced them to not do it, which is good. I don't see that as failure. Mm-hmm. I think that's great. You know, we've just saved that person a lot of time and money by being able to say, hey, maybe think about doing something else. But for others, it really does allow them to say, okay, I think I was meant to do this. Whether it's full-time or on the side, we've got people in our program that are making sometimes $10,000, $20,000 coaching on the side. They're not even doing it full-time yet, and they're making those kinds of numbers. But it's because they know their value, and it's because they have the systems in place to make it happen.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
and I think that assessment's good. I heard a saying, conflict equals clarity. You know, like it's really cold outside, and I'm like, right now, I'm like, okay, conflict equals clarity. Conflict, because I know I don't want to be in this cold weather next winter. I want to go somewhere where it's sunny.
That's right.
But also, we wanted to share, we have something exciting. We've decided to do a webinar together. And we are going to be doing that, and we will make sure that it is added in the show notes.
Yes,
tell them a little bit about that, because I know we are out of time, but I just want to
give
it's
a part of that goal of getting to the 4 hours. So we're going to start talking some more tactics, and especially it's designed specifically for that person who's been thinking about being a coach, thinking about being a speaker. Maybe they've done it or tried it and maybe it didn't go well, but they're like, okay, I know I can do this. Just show me the way. We're going to give them some more tactics and strategies to be able to do that.
Okay. And we will put that link in the show notes as well. Now, where is the best place for people to find you, find all your assessments, your coaching, your podcast?
Right. So the best place to start is MitchMatthews.com. That's where
your website's beautiful.
Well,
by the way.
Thank you. It's always one of those where you always see the things you want to change, right? So that means a lot coming from you. So MitchMatthews.com is the best place to start. We spent our whole marketing budget coming up with that domain name, but that's where you can find out more about Dream, Think, Do. It's fine where you can find out more about Encouraging the Encouragers, my two podcasts, and then all the other free resources that we have, as well as to find out more about what we're doing with coaches and speakers too.
Okay, that is all. And you do some really fun stuff with speakers too.
Yeah. It's pretty fun.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being on the show.
This is so much fun and such an honor. And I'm so excited for you to be in this beautiful space.
I'm so excited to be in this studio. Thank you so much. Yeah. And thank you so much for tuning into the show. Appreciate you listening to the Amberly Lago Show. And we will see you next week.